Edge. Father, we thank you for our Bible study. Thank you, Lord, because you yourself are interested in the word, because it's your word that you are giving us. We're asking, O Lord, that you give us presence of mind, soul, and spirit as we are present in the body. And we pray, Lord, that your word will do good in every life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless us at the headquarters and bless everyone in every location, every church, every group, everyone in every nation connected with us. Bless everyone through your word. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. I want to welcome everyone to our Bible study. We study the Bible for a purpose. Actually, when you look at the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is basic instruction before leaving Egypt for them, for Moses, for the children of Israel. They needed some basic instruction. I can even say for Pharaoh and the chariots after the children of Israel left and they felt they too must leave and pursue them. Hold on, Pharaoh, do some Bible study. Basic instruction before leaving Egypt. If they had thought about that, all the basic instruction that Moses had given, they would not have led to pursue the children of Israel to the Red Sea. But because they neglected the basic instruction before leaving Egypt, that's what caused their problem. They drowned, they died, and went to a lost eternity. The children of Israel themselves, you'll see that Moses began to instruct them. He appeared to them in chapter 4 that we have studied. Now we come to chapter 5, and as you go on, Moses was giving them basic instruction before leaving Egypt. And then in chapter 12, he gave them something very serious. The base, the bottom, and the very essence of the instruction they needed. How they will kill the lamb and apply the blood and stay in those houses so that the angel of death will not catch up with them and kill them. They did well because they listened, they learned, they obeyed the basic instruction before leaving Egypt. Now, for us who are here today, we're not in Egypt, we're on earth. And the Lord, in the studies we carry out in the Bible, gives us basic instruction before leaving earth. Before we die, before we leave this place to go to the great beyond, this is what we need, because this is what brings us blessed information, bringing life eternal. If we're going to have salvation, if we're going to have eternal life, we have this, the blessed instruction that we need, so that it will bring unto us life eternal. And that's why we always come. And for those who are always coming, the Lord bless you. And for those who have just started coming, keep on coming, because what we are talking about is what you need, the basic instruction before leaving earth. And for those who are looking out to the Lord for the rapture, We need, before the rapture happens, when God will take his own children out of this world and take them to heaven. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need this basic instruction before leaving earth so that we'll make it at the rapture. We'll continue with that basic instruction today. We're looking at Exodus chapter 5, and we're talking about the great contest between the almighty and the arrogant monarch. In Exodus chapter 5, we're looking at verse 1. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go. We pray thee, it says, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And you're seeing here how Moses obeyed the Lord. He had been met by Aaron, and both of them had spoken to the children of Israel, and they demonstrated the signs, the wonders, the miracles that God had told Moses to show Aaron, and Aaron to demonstrate before the children of Israel. And the children of Israel at the end of chapter 4 were so happy because God had remembered them, had remembered Abraham, had remembered Isaac, had remembered Jacob, had remembered the covenant, and he has sent deliverers unto them. And Moses would have thought it was so easy, went through in instructing the children of Israel and telling them the God of mercy, the God of power, the God of miracle has appeared. And they so believed. Now they came to Aaron. Aaron and Moses came unto Pharaoh. And as they declared unto him what God had said, let my people go. To their surprise, to their shock, and to their kind of despair, Pharaoh said, what are you talking about? Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. Neither will I let the children of Israel go. And they told him again, here is what the Lord had said. He sent us. And a contest began. The conflict of the powers, the power of the Almighty and the power of a mere man, the arrogant man. And so we have the study today. But whatever happens, God, our maker, our creator, the Almighty, will win. For Israel, he won. And for you, he will win in Jesus' name. Be on the side of the Lord. Don't bother what Pharaoh might say. The son of the Antichrist that is still to come. And when the end comes, that's what the Antichrist will do. He will sit in the place of God, proclaiming that he is God. He will want to compel the children of Israel and the rest of the world to serve him, But at last, remember that God will win the day. The great contest between the almighty and the arrogant monarch. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the appointed minister by the almighty. Number two, the arrogant man for affliction. He thought he was going to afflict the children of Israel. And he actually brought out the plan, the plot to afflict the children of Israel more than ever before, because he was for affliction. But he himself was ready for the ultimate final affliction. Look at number three. Number three, they aggrieved Moses in anguish. Moses forgot what the Lord had said unto him at the beginning, that Pharaoh will not let the people go easily, that God will have to produce signs, miracles, wonders from heaven, eventually to knock him down, eventually to break his backbone of rebellion, before he will allow the children of Israel to go. And because Moses forgot that it will not be an easy task, that will just go in and Pharaoh will just say, yes, yes, okay, let them go, he became aggrieved, because the children of Israel themselves were in great anguish. Look at number one. Number one, the appointed minister by the Almighty. The Lord had appointed him. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, the mandate for Moses from the Lord. Number two is the ministry of Moses throughout his life. The Lord did not give a time limit to say, Moses, I'm calling you now, and you are 80 years of age, I can still work with you for about 10 years. No, it was for life. The mandate he received, the ministry he received, was throughout his life. Look at number three. Number three, the message of ministers for the lost. The message of ministers for the lost. Number one, the mandate for Moses from the Lord. In Exodus chapter 3, we're reading from verse 9. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10. Here is the mandate. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We must always remember the mandate. We must not be carried away by whatever may be happening. The rod may turn to a serpent. That is not the final ministry or the final mandate. What it was to do was to make sure that whatever happened, it brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And you might provide water from the rock, bring them out. You might get manna from heaven, bring them out. You might know all the names and the titles of God. He is Jehovah, He is Almighty, He is El Shaddai. You might know whatever theology, but whatever theology you propound and whatever revelation you have, the final thing is bring them out. And that is the mandate we have today. Look at Psalm 103, and I'm reading from verse 6. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And that's what God was doing, was going to execute righteousness and judgment for the oppressed children of Israel. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord revealed to Moses, here is why I called you. And when you get to Pharaoh, here is what you have to tell him. And you have to remain and stay on that message until you bring them out. Was to bring them out of the furnace of affliction. Isaiah chapter 63, and we're reading from verse 11. Isaiah 63, verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea? Brought them out. And Moses needed to underline that in his thinking, in his praying, in his ministering, in his preaching, in everything he did, either with Pharaoh or with the Egyptians, magicians, everyone, bring them out. Where is he that brought them out of the sea? With the shepherd of his flock. Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? He couldn't do that in his own strength. And we cannot bring out sinners out of the world and bring them to God and bring them and establish them in the kingdom in our own strength. But he gives the Holy Spirit. We are saved, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with our heart. We're children of God. We're sanctified, and the Holy Spirit emphasizes, establishes his holiness in our spirit. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit overflows and empowers and encourages and counsels us. He gives us the Spirit, and because of that, we're able to carry out the assignment that he has given us. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, he led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. It says, he divided, dividing the water, the Red Sea before them, and to make himself an everlasting name. The mandate. We must remember that. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. In Hosea chapter 12, reading from verse 13. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And that's the ministry of the prophet, to bring the people out of evil, out of sin, out of pollution, out of the corruption in the world. And the ministry of Moses as a prophet, we're told here, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. The ministry of the prophet, the mandate of Moses, did not stop when the children of Israel came out. They are to be preserved so that they do not go back to Egypt, or go back to corruption, or go back to idolatry, or go back to the works of the flesh. By prophet, he brought them out. By prophet, he preserved them. The mandate. Let's look at number two. Number two is the ministry of Moses throughout his life. If the Lord has called you, he has called you to a lifetime ministry. If the Lord has put his spirit within you and the Lord has sent you forth with a mandate to bring out the people out of the world, out of sin, out of evil, and to bring them into the kingdom of God, it's not a 1 year assignment, it's not a decades assignment, it is throughout life. We're told in Exodus chapter 3 verse 17. Exodus 3 verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan. The last part says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Bring them out, take them in. And it is not enough that we are preached and sinners have come out of sin. They've come to the Savior. Christ has eternal life, everlasting life, abundant life, victorious life, conquering life for the people that are brought out. And the ministry continues, ministry continues. There is salvation. Then there is discipleship. And as the people follow the Lord, discipleship continues until they know their right. They know the abundance that the Lord has made, called them into. Look at chapter 6, reading from verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and gave them a charge. A charge. I charge thee therefore before God and before his holy angels and before the king, before Jesus Christ who is coming. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with doctrine and long suffering, because the time will come when men, when people will not want to hear sound doctrine, and they will turn their ears unto fables, and they'll turn away from the word of salvation. But thou, continue thou in the work of the evangelist. Do that work of the evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. A prophet, a teacher, a prophet of God, bringing them out of Egypt and teaching them the word, the way, the will of the Lord. He gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Bring them out. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, these are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies, according to their tribes. Aaron and Moses were not to go to the children of Israel to entertain them. They had been under oppression. They were weary. They were tired. They were in despair. They were discouraged. And they were not to go as minister to entertain the children of Israel. What they were to do was to talk to them, and so preach to them, and so make them desire, come out of Egypt and go serve the Lord and make a feast unto the Lord. The same thing the Lord has called us to today. We who are pastors, who are preachers, who are teachers of the word, he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. We bring them out. The ministry is not to entertain, and the ministry is not to exalt Aaron or Moses, to exalt a man and to exalt a preacher. It is to bring them out. John chapter 15 verse 19. If ye were the world, the world would love its own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. The ministry of Christ was to bring the people, the sinners, out of the world, out of the corruption of the world, out of the common sins of the world, out of the practices of the world, and to bring them unto himself with a transformed life, a changed life, just like the Lord God of heaven gave the ministry unto Moses. Bring them out. And God said, a prophet like unto you, referring to Christ, I will bring to the children of Israel, and he will say my word, preach my word, and his word will be to bring them out. That's why Jesus himself said, I have chosen you out of the world. If our ministry, our preaching, our teaching, our programs do not bring people out of sin, out of evil, out of the world, we're not fulfilling our calling. The calling is bring them out. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We're reading from verse 17. In verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. And that's what the preacher is to emphasize. That's what the evangelist is supposed to emphasize. That's what the soul winner is supposed to emphasize. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you. It's not a father to the people who are still in their sin, those who are still in their evil, those who have not left the corruption of the world. It's those who have repented, and they have turned, and they have turned to the Lord, and they are saved, and their lives are turned around, and there is a mighty change. There's a great change since I was born again. Great change. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The dresses I used to wear, I wear them no more. The things I used to drink, I drink them no more. The things I used to smoke, I smoke them no more. There is a great change since I've been born again. And that's what the Lord expected. He says, then, after you come out, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We'll come to number three now. Number three is the message of ministers for the lost. The message of ministers for the lost. In Luke chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 47. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, our sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. the Lord Jesus Christ was in the house of this man, because he was invited there for supper, for dinner. And this woman knew that Jesus Christ was there, and she came there convicted of her sin, and she wept. She wasn't laughing, smiling, giggling. Jesus, I've come to see you. I've lived a good life, pleasurable life. No. When she saw Jesus, if you ever saw Jesus in your life, you will see how holy and heavenly he is, and how terrible, sinful, horrible you are. And that broke her heart, and she wept, and she cleaned the tears that came on the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, because of the sorrow for sin, and because of the realization of the kind of life she had lived, because here is what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. He now said, your sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Look at verse 50. In verse 50, it says, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go, that's the word, go in peace. Go with forgiveness. Go with salvation. Go in the peace of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we're told in John chapter 17, Jesus came to call sinners out. And Jesus said what the Father had sent him to do here on earth, to call sinners out of sin, and to call them out of the evil kingdom of the world, and to call sinners into the everlasting kingdom. That's what he has now given us to do. Look at John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou, Father, hast sent me, Jesus, into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus came to save sinners. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I sent my disciples. He came to bring the sinners out of their sin, out of their drunkenness, out of their worldliness, out of their idolatry, and out of the works of the flesh. And as the Father has sent him, so he has sent us. It's not enough to just say, I preach the gospel. The end of it, the message, is to bring those sinners out of their sin. And in chapter 20, it says, peace be unto you. As my Father have sent me, even so send I you. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, the arrogant man for affliction. The arrogant man. And he was for the affliction of the people of God. He wanted to put affliction on people that God has not put affliction. And when the children of Israel, when they got it wrong, and they said, Moses, see what you've done. Leave us alone. Let us be under the tyrant, under the despot, under the persecutor. Leave us alone. Let us be under their affliction. And there are people today who will say, when affliction comes, when oppression comes, oh, they'll say, it's the Lord. No, it's not the Lord. The will of the Lord is that you are out of that oppression. out of that affliction. If there's any affliction, if there's any oppression, it is the affliction that Pharaoh was bringing. It tells us in Exodus chapter 5, reading from verse 2. Exodus 5, 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Isaiah chapter 48, reading from verse 10. Isaiah 48, verse 10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The Lord God of heaven chose those Israelites out of the furnace of affliction." And he sees his people today, it is not his will that to remain in affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why? Because God wants them to be afflicted? No. Because Satan is Satan. Because Pharaoh is Pharaoh. Because the oppressors are oppressors. What did you, those oppressors? What did you, those tyrants? It's not the will of God. If they were doing the will of God, God will not punish them. If they were obeying God, and they say, and people say, when those calamities happen, it is the will of God, why would God punish the people that did his will? No, it's not the will of God. They are just carrying out the plan, the project, the plot of Satan. And it says in verse 11, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory to another." A contest between the Almighty God and the arrogant man, arrogant monarch, that he felt he could share the glory of God. God says, "This is the way." And Pharaoh said, "No, that's not the way. My own way will prevail." Look at three things. Number one, the scornfulness of a haughty prince, proud. Number two, their subjection under hard pressure. Number three is the stubbornness of the hateful before perishing. Look at number one. Number one, the scornfulness of a haughty prince. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2 again, it says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord?" Haughty, proud. And when the word of God comes to a sinner, and we declare the word of God, "Repent ye and turn, so that iniquity will not be your ruin." And they shake their heads and they say, "Who is the Lord?" It is the same as what Pharaoh said. When God says, "Turn, repent, come out from every form of evil, lest my judgment fall upon you," and you shake your head and say, "Who is the Lord?" When you are holding any child of God, any son, any daughter, any believer under bondage, under oppression, and under any kind of suffering, and the word of God comes and it says, "Yes, I know she's your wife, but that oppression is not of God. Repent and turn away from that oppression." And you shake your head and you say, who is, of course you may not say who is God. You might say who is the preacher, who is the pastor, who is Moses. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, whosoever receiveth you receiveth me, whosoever rejects you or receives you or says is not going to do what you say, because I sent you. Whosoever rejects you rejects me. The man might think he was rejecting Moses, was rejecting God. The sinner, the tyrant of her husband, may think, I don't follow the counsel of any man, I don't follow the preaching of any man. He may think, I'm rejecting the pastor, you are rejecting the Lord, you are rejecting God. And that's what Pharaoh did. And he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. Look at Daniel chapter 3. We're reading from verse 15. Daniel 3, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, idolatrous music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, I have made. If you forget your God, if you forget the maker of heaven and earth, and you make me as the number one to bend, to bow to, well, then he said, and but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who, look at that, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? But thank God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they knew God, they saw God, God had been revealed to them. You know the story. They denied Nebuchadnezzar, they obeyed the Almighty God. They were cast into the furnace of fire, affliction. But God brought them out. God will bring you out. Number two here, number two is the subjection under hard pressure. Subjection under hard pressure. Now the children of Israel could not understand that God said he sent Moses and Aaron to them that they will declare the might of God, the mandate of heaven unto them, and come out of the hardship. But now, after Pharaoh heard, and Pharaoh was furious against Moses and Aaron, he said, you make these people leave the task I've given them. And you're thinking, you're talking about a God that appeared to you that I don't know. Look at Exodus chapter 5. I'm reading here from verse 10. Exodus 5, verse 10. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Verse 11, go ye and get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. And their case becomes hotter. You know, sometimes when you are, before you are born again, you've been with your parents and you've been doing whatever they tell you to do. Go to that idolatrous papa and get this for me. And you went, you came back, you gave them. And then they say, stretch your hand out. They want to make some marks on your hand and rub in some black occultic thing. And you surrendered. But now you are born again. And the only Lord you know is the Lord of heaven, Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Lord. When you make Jesus Savior, you also make him Lord. You cannot just say, he's my Savior, and then he's not your Lord. No, those two titles go together. He is your Savior, he is your Lord. Because now, he's your Lord, he's your controller, he's your director. If the one that tells you go this way, go that way, you go. Now, after you are born again, Papa here on earth calls you again and say, go do this. Or you say, I'm sorry, I cannot do that again. What do you mean? Now I'm born again. What's the meaning of that? It means the things I used to do, I cannot do them anymore. And persecution may come. Rebuke may come. Affliction may come. Hunger may come. That is it. For the children of Israel, after the message had been given to them, and they rejoiced that God had visited them, and now Pharaoh reacted to that, and he brought affliction, heart pressure upon them. It so happened that sometimes you are the wife that came to know the Lord, and then you go back home and things are different. You used to invite, you know, because your husband said he wasn't satisfied with one woman, just you. And in the past, because of fear, you used to allow all those women to come, and you give them chance to do whatever rubbish they wanted to do. But now you're born again and you say, I cannot assist you in that. I cannot support you. I cannot condone that anymore. And the man will bring persecution. You decide, I go to the Bible study. And you leave the place you had been before that didn't profit you spiritually. And now you are coming. And before you get back home, the husband locked the gate and locked the door. You keep on knocking, and she call, and he comes out. Didn't I tell you, I don't like you. Go into that Bible study deeper, and I see the effect on your life. You can go to another church, you can go to another fellowship, but not this. But you make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do, because I see the way of life here. I see transformation. I see that Christ lives in me. And because of that, I become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. Because of that, affliction may come, persecution may come. But stay there. God will fight your battle for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're reading from verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Persecution, we faint not. Pharaoh's affliction, we faint not. Relatives, misunderstanding and misinterpretation of our salvation experience, we faint not. our tribe used to be a member of the society there, and Sunday afternoon used to go for the tribal meeting. But now all the things they're discussing there, and the palm wine, whatever they are drinking there, that's not your way anymore. There is a change and there is a new lifestyle. And because of that, they bring some affliction. But that's light when you compare what happened to Paul the apostle after he became born again. Whatever you are going through today is simple light affliction, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it will not be long. All the pride of Pharaoh and all the pressure he put upon them, it was for a short time. Endure that momentary situation. It says it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, are short, are brief. The things you feel, the pain you feel, the confusion that might come, and the oppression, the affliction that appears to bite hard. Just understand, all these things are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're looking at number three. Number three is the stubbornness of the hateful before perishing. And Pharaoh thought he had the day. He had the final say. He thought it was the final authority over his life and over the lives of other people. And because he had wrong thoughts, that's why he remained stubborn. Stubborn people are ignorant. Pharaoh was ignorant of what will still happen. The miracles that will happen, the frogs that will fill all their houses, the swarm of flies that will fill the whole land. The man knew nothing of what God could do and how their water, all their water, will turn to blood. He knew nothing how the hills will come down like heavy bags of cement and destroy everything. The man was ignorant, and how darkness will cover the land and how they will suffer because of his hard-heartedness. How everybody will suffer in the land of Egypt because of his strong mind, stony heart, and stubbornness because of his ignorance. That's why I was stubborn. What makes people stubborn is that they are ignorant. They are ignorant that God is watching them. They are ignorant God is going to punish evil, is going to punish sin. They think God doesn't look at this. God has led everybody on earth to do whatever they want to do. They're stubborn because they are ignorant. In Proverbs chapter 29, I'm reading from verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Hardeneth his neck. Why neck? Because the neck that turns. When you're going this direction, you're looking in this way, you don't see what's behind you. You don't see what's beside you. And you don't see the sin that will follow. And you cannot turn the neck, the head, either this way or that way. Stiff neck, the stubbornness. And it says, he that being often reproved hardness his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Isn't that what happened to Pharaoh? That Moses and Aaron came, and he came, and he came again. Let the people go, that they might serve the Lord. God created the people for himself, that they might serve him. He didn't create them to be your slave, that they will build for you. But the man did not know how to turn his neck. He stiffened his neck, and eventually he perished. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, now after 7 seasons passed over him, after his mind, his brain, his thinking faculty was turned to that of an animal, after he ate grass like animal, after he was divinely humiliated, he waited so long. He had been stiff-necked from chapter 2, chapter 3. Now chapter 4 came. And at the end of chapter 4, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. They that walk in pride. What's pride? It's not just, you know, lifting the shoulder. Pride is, God says, do this. You say, no. If that is the last thing somebody will have to do to get to heaven, I won't do it. That's pride. Some people say, if that's the last preacher that will preach that thing, no, I don't want the man to think I'm bending to him. If he is the only one that has the message that opens the door of heaven, forget about it, I will not. That's the pride. And if she is the only one, think about that. My wife is saying she's discovered the way to heaven, the way to glory. And what I didn't know by myself in the Bible, the woman, a woman by that, in the, think about that. Coming to tell me this is the way. If that is the last voice that will show me the way to heaven, I reject. That's pride. They that walk in pride, God is able to abase. So we should repent of the scornfulness. We should repent of the stubbornness. We should repent of the stiff neck and the stony heart. We're looking at point number 3. Point number 3, they aggrieved Moses in anguish. Look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 19. Exodus 5, 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks or your daily tax. Verse 20. In verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. In verse 21, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated these people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Moses himself was grieved because of what happened to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were in anguish of spirit. Look at three things. Number one, the anguished and fearful men accused their leader. Number two, aggrieved and forgetful Moses asked the Lord why. Number three, abiding and faithful, our Maker is Lord of all. Look at number one. Number one, anguished and fearful men accused their leader. We're told in chapter 5, reading from verse 21. In verse 21, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to slay us, to destroy us, because of anguish, because of the oppression, the affliction that came upon them more than ever before. They now accused their leader. But you know, we don't have to do that. Look at the whole case. And look at Pharaoh. You know the character of Pharaoh. Moses did not make him do anything. When he afflicted the children of Israel as Pharaoh, in chapter 1, Moses was not even born then. And when the Pharaoh that came said they should be throwing the baby boys into the river, Moses was not the originator of that. And so Pharaoh is Pharaoh. It's his character. And don't accuse the wrong person. But you know, even when there is anguish, you can have a better outlook. Look at Psalm 119. And we're reading from verse 143. Psalm 119. We're looking at verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. You can have a better attitude, and you can look at your God and remember all the great acts of God, all the good things God has done, all the good things that God keeps on doing. And when Pharaoh is Pharaoh, let Pharaoh be Pharaoh, and let God be God. Let the oppressor be oppressor, and let God be God. Let the backslider be backslider, and let God be God. And don't say because of, you know, the utterance of Pharaoh, because of the attitude of Pharaoh, because of the affliction from Pharaoh, and because of the pressure, heart pressure, rebellion, disobedience from the backslider, then you accuse God, or you accuse the men and women of God. While Pharaoh is Pharaoh, God will be God. And as we look at that verse again, verse 143, it says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet even then thy commandments are my delight. Look at the next verse, in verse 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. That same psalm, look at verse 60. In Psalm 119, verse 60, I made haste, I delayed not to keep thy commandments. Pharaoh will do what he will do. Backsliders will do what he will do. Oppressors, persecutors will do what they will do. But your concentration is not Pharaoh. Your concentration is not Herod. Your concentration is not Nebuchadnezzar. Your concentration is the Lord God of heaven. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 61. In verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. 62. In 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 63. In verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Look at number 2. They are grieved and forgetful. Moses asked the Lord why. When we ask questions we shouldn't ask from the Lord, what did you send me? What did you tell me to tell Pharaoh? When did I come to the children of Israel to tell them this or that? When we do that, we have forgotten something. Number one, we forget who God is. He is God. He can send you on an errand without letting you know all that will happen. He is God. He made his only begotten son to suffer at Calvary, die on the cross, a cruel death. If he allowed that for the salvation of the world, why are you asking why? If he could allow all that on the cross, all that for the crucifixion, all that for the nail to pierce his hand and to pierce his feet, who are you to be asking him, why did you send me here? Moses was forgetful of what the Lord had told him earlier. That's why he was aggrieved. We're looking at chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3. We're looking at verse 19. This is God talking to Moses. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Moses forgot that when God called him, God had said, the ministry will not be a bed of roses. Isn't that what preachers, pastors, evangelists, those who are sent by the Lord, isn't that what we all expect? They know I'm telling them of the way to heaven. They know I've left this, I've left that, so that I can prepare them for the coming of the Lord. They know that I have sacrificed everything so that I can show them how to get to heaven and enjoy heaven forever and ever. No doubt, because they know I come to help. and I come to establish them, and I come to make them be in favor with God. They're going to be nice to me. God didn't say that. Read your Bible again. That I send you forth as sheep before the wolves, and the wolves will want to destroy and eat up the sheep. And Jesus said, that's what I'm sending you forth. And he told them another time, as lambs before the wolf. He told them, he said, they will persecute you, and they will think when they persecute you, they're doing God service. That's what he said. And when he called Paul, he told Paul, he said, I'm sending you out. I will be with you. I will deliver you from the hands of the kings and the Gentiles to whom I now send you. He told us there'll be persecution. He told us there'll be affliction. He told us that if they have heard my word, obeyed my word, they'll obey your word. If they have rejected me, some of them will reject you. If they have done this to the green tree, they will do much more to the dry. And it is when we forget that he told us there'll be affliction, there'll be persecution, there'll be heart pressure. It's the forgetfulness of that that makes us to wonder, oh Lord, why? Oh Lord, why? Oh Lord, why? Look at that again, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. Now in chapter 5, all those wonders had not been displayed. Moses, have you forgotten? He said, he will not let you go until I stretch forth my hand and perform and do all my wonders. And then he says, after that, he will let you go. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, he says, and I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That will come later. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 6. We're reading from verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. We're looking at verse 6. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought, worked wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go? And they departed after he had wrought wonders, after he had done all those great miracles of judgment. That's when they now allowed Israel to go. And Moses shouldn't have forgotten that. Evangelist, when you are confronted with difficulties on the way, Jesus said, every place you enter, if there are the sons of peace there, then your peace will come upon them. But you also want that the people of peace may not be there. And when you are going out to shape up, you kind of wipe off all the dust on your feet and still to them that all the same, the kingdom of God is preached unto you. Job chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 4. In Job chapter 9 verse 4, he is wise, that's God. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and has prospered. No, nobody. Pharaoh did not prosper hardening himself. The Egyptians did not prosper hardening themselves. And Herod did not prosper hardening himself. Nebuchadnezzar did not prosper hardening himself, no man, no woman in any generation ever prospers hardening himself or herself. We're coming to number three now. Point number three, abiding and faithful, our maker is Lord, Lord of all. In Exodus chapter 6 verse 1, Exodus chapter 6 verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. God has the final say. I said God has the final say. God now called Moses and said, Moses, are you grieved? Are you in anguish? Are you troubled? Are you wondering why is this and why is that? Look up to your God, because he has the final say. Now wilt thou see, now shalt thou see what I will do unto Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. Israel will go out of Egypt. Pharaoh likes it or not, the magicians like it or not, the unbelievers like it or not, Israel will go out of Egypt. The church will go out of this world. The rapture will take place, whether the world likes it or not, the Antichrist likes it or not, the traditional church believes it or not, there's going to be the rapture, and the dead will rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord in Jesus' name. Whether the world likes it or not, the people that Jesus died for, they'll come out of sin. They'll come out of the world. And whether, colleagues in sin, partners in sin, whether they like it or not, and they want to hold the people down, the people that Jesus died for, and those who are sinning in their ignorance, the world will come to them, and they will come out of the world and come out of the works of the flesh and come out of sin and be saved in Jesus' name. The birth of Jesus in this world will not be in vain. The death of Jesus on the cross will not be in vain. The calling, the consecration of Christ to save the world will not be in vain. And Satan cannot hold the people who want to serve the Lord. Satan cannot hold them down. You want to serve the Lord, Satan cannot hold you down. Family cannot hold you down. Village cannot hold you down. Your tribe and your traditional religion cannot hold you down. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Say a good amen now. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. Did they come out? I said, did they come out? Have you come out? Will they get you back to Egypt? Rise up and tell the Lord, you know that God has the final say in your life. Not Pharaoh, not the tyrant, not the magicians, not the powers that be in the world. And the Lord has said, come out. Let the Lord have the final say in your life. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. The contest between the Almighty and the arrogant monarch. They're so proud. They think if you decide to be saved, they're so proud, they say, no, they will not allow that. Who are they? Don't allow mere man, proud man, arrogant man, monarch, to have the final say in your life. Open your mouth and surrender yourself afresh, anew, unto the Lord. He wants to hear you pray. Pharaoh was not quiet in his affliction. The people of God must not be quiet. As they pray and they hand over their lives to the Lord, the Pharaoh will not have the final say in my life. It's oppression. His affliction, his pride will not have the final say in my life. Are you the believer that the Lord has sent? Go to your neighbors, go to the world around you, and preach the gospel of freedom, forgiveness, grace, salvation to every creature. Giving you a mandate, do it. And when you preach to bring sinners out of sin. You preach to bring sinners out of the hand of the devil. You pray to bring sinners out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the mandate. Don't entertain sinners. Bring them out. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He chose us out of the world. Have you been called out of the world of darkness? Have you responded? Out. Then in. Into the everlasting kingdom. Into the kingdom of his grace. Into the kingdom of godliness. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Giving us the ministry fulfill the ministry by the ministry of the prophet, the preacher, the pastor. He brought them out. bring the people out of the world, out of Egypt, out of evil, out of the works of the flesh. You're preaching. Are you doing that? You're evangelizing. Are you doing that? The message of Christ brought forgiveness, freedom, telling them, go and sin no more. And he said, as the Father sent me, even so have I sent you. Your message is only valuable when you tell the sinners, come out. And when you conclude the message of the grace of God that says, your sins are forgiven, neither are you under condemnation anymore, but go and sin no more. When the grace of God appears unto the people, it teaches them to deny all ungodliness, to flee from iniquity, and to live honestly, soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We've learned about Pharaoh, the arrogant man. Why don't you pray that the pride of depraved Pharaoh will not have a place in your life? The blasphemy of Pharaoh will not have a place in your life. Pray. That you will not manifest the scornfulness of Pharaoh, bringing affliction to the people God wants to set free. That the subjection of terrorizing Pharaoh will not be you, having joy in subjecting people, the people of God, under hard pressure. Pray that that evil nature of Pharaoh will not be you. The nature that delights in bringing oppression, rigor, had labeled sorrow on other people. Jesus was not like that. Jesus was loving, meek, mild, lowly. If you are like Jesus, you have a lowly spirit. Meek, mild, humble, loving. If you are like Pharaoh, your heart, your action betrays you. You do not know God. Pharaoh didn't know God. He said so. His nature was an evil nature, devilish nature. If you delight in oppression, affliction of other people's lives, oppressing your wife, oppressing your husband, oppressing any brother, any sister, because they choose the way of the Lord, the oppressor is under the influence of the Antichrist. Stubbornness, so Pharaoh, not of Christ. Stiff neck, it's of the sinner, not of the sage. Rebellion, disobedience, deliberate contradiction of the doctrine of God, of the word of God. It's of Satan, not of the Savior. The Bible, a basic instruction before leaving the earth. Obey that instruction. Follow the Lord. Show that you have met the Lord. Just change your life. Change your heart. You're not the same anymore. Don't allow anguish, affliction to make you fearful. God is God. Don't accuse leadership. Look at what I'm going through. You heard the word of God, you obeyed, you believed the word of God. Those who persecute you are not sent by the leader. It's because they're evil. Don't accuse church leadership. Don't be forgetful. He's told us before, he's warned us before. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Don't be forgetful. Remember the word of the Lord. In the affliction, in the persecution, Retain your faith in God, because he abides faithful. He, a maker, a Lord, the God of all creation, he abides faithful. And remember, he has the final say in your life. Remember that grace of God, the grace that saved you, that same grace will secure you, establish you, settle you. He has more grace, ask him. When temptations come, don't accuse God, don't accuse anyone. Go to God in prayer. What you need is more grace. And he giveth and giveth and giveth more grace. When the road is rough, when Pharaoh shouts the loudest, don't cringe, don't collapse. Go to God in prayer. He who sustained and strengthened Moses and saved Israel will surely save you, strengthen you, establish you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you've given us basic instruction that brings life eternal. And we pray that every one of us will receive, will believe, and will have the grace to live the way you want us to live in Jesus' name. Amen. No fear, yes. No fainting, yes. No fretting. Yes. Now, by your grace, every one of us, we're going to stand. Yes. Stand firm in the calling you're giving every one of us in Jesus' name. Yes. Now we believe and we know that you have the final say in our lives. Whether Pharaoh likes it or not, like you brought the children of Israel out from under the furnace of Egypt. Every one of us, we're out of all the pollutions of the world, all the penalty of the world, all the punishment of the world, all the affliction of the world, all the sickness of the world, and all the dangers of the world, in Jesus' name. Grant more grace to everyone. Amen. More power to everyone. Amen. Where we used to be afraid, now we will no more be afraid. Amen. Send forth your people in the peace of God. Send forth your people in the purity that the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased for us. Send forth your people in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have sent us to evangelize. You have sent us to declare your word. And we pray we'll bring multitudes out of Egypt, out of evil, out of the world, and disciple them and settle them in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Your people are going forth like a great mighty army. Go forth with your people and let them bring back testimonies of victory, testimonies of conquering, and testimonies of triumph in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.